Hi, friends. Welcome to Spilling the Beans podcast, where we spill the beans on all things intuitive eating, health at every size, body acceptance, and gentle nutrition. I'm your host and registered dietitian, Amanda Lambrix, and you may know me as @spillingthebeans_nutrition on Instagram and Facebook. Go ahead, get comfortable, grab a snack, and let's get started spilling the beans. Welcome back. It's our first episode after the intuitive eating series, and this was a highly requested topic. When I first started my podcast, I asked followers on Instagram what they would be interested in hearing me talk about, and I got a lot of requests for navigating body changes in motherhood and guidance during that transition. Since I personally don't have any experience with that myself, I asked fellow dietitian Crystal Cargas if she could hop on and help you all out. Crystal Cargas is a registered dietitian, and she's also a certified lactation counselor, a maternal health specialist, child feeding expert, and food and body image coach for mothers. Crystal is passionate about helping mothers build a peaceful relationship with food and their bodies so they can confidently nourish themselves and their families and bring joy back to eating. Crystal is committed to providing holistic, compassionate, and evidence-based nutrition care to mothers and families worldwide through her online blog and virtual nutrition coaching practice. You can find more motherhood and mealtime inspiration on her blog or on her Instagram, which is @CrystalCargas. In this episode, Crystal shares a little about her personal journey with an eating disorder, some of the challenges that mothers face today, why transitioning to motherhood can be both a beautiful and a challenging thing, the societal pressures of conforming your body postpartum, and so much more. I gained so much valuable information from this episode, and I know you will too. All right, so today we have Crystal Cargas on. Welcome to the show, Crystal.
Thank you so much, Amanda. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, and thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I know we're in two completely different time zones, so I was so excited to see that our timing worked out okay.
Yes, it's perfect.
So for listeners who aren't already familiar with you, can you tell them a little bit about yourself and what you do for work?
Absolutely. Yes. So I am a registered dietitian and also a lactation consultant. I specialize in maternal health and child feeding. And I have a private practice, but it's mostly virtual. So I get to work with women all across the country. And I even have some women that I've worked with internationally. And I'm just passionate about helping moms break the generational cycles of dieting and food guilt and body shame so that they can feel confident in how they feed themselves and how they feed their children, and ultimately to raise children who are free from diet culture. That's what I'm passionate about helping other mothers with. And so I help a lot of moms who are recovering from eating disorders, various forms of disordered eating, chronic dieting, and who are just really trying to reconnect with their bodies and build trust with themselves so that they can ultimately feel confident in how they're feeding their children. So that's a little bit about what I do for work. I am blessed with the work that I'm able to do. And I'm also a mama of 5 kiddos myself, and they keep me busy. So,
oh my goodness.
It's a blessing to be able to have work that is flexible in that regards. And I'm really grateful for the time that I am able to be home with my kids and have learned so much from them. And they continue to teach me so much. Being a mother is a gift and a blessing. And there's so much I'm learning through the journey constantly. So.
Mm-hmm. When you said 5 kids, I just was taken so aback. I knew that, but then I was just thinking, my mom visited me this last weekend here in Indianapolis, and I had just texted her a little bit ago saying, oh man, like my nap schedule's really thrown off today. And so now when you say 5 kids, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got nothing to complain about.
Yes, it is a wild ride, but I wouldn't change it for the world. And like I said, I think one of the most surprising things about motherhood is how much I've learned and changed through the journey. And each kid is completely different. And I feel like I'm constantly learning something new from each child. Like they mm-hmm. are my best teachers. So yes, it's a wild ride, but it's a great one too.
So I can imagine that your relationship with both food and your body has probably evolved over the years, especially being a mom of 5 and also through marriage and college and all those different stages. So how would you describe your own changes and evolutions with food and your body over the years?
Yeah, it's a great question. I appreciate you asking. And I myself have recovered from an eating disorder. I struggled with an eating disorder in my late teens and into my early 20s. And unfortunately, a lot of my college years were shaped by that. And that was definitely a struggle for me. And through my recovery journey, you know, I found what it means to experience food freedom and what intuitive eating really is looking like, or what that looks like in real life. And I think all of those things just seemed really elusive to me and just really far-fetched, especially in the years that I was struggling with my eating disorder. But really through my healing journey, I feel like I found what food freedom means. And I know it looks different for everybody, but really that's something that has informed the work that I do. And I think also like the added layer of motherhood really also helped me see just the different challenges that mothers in particularly face when they may have had eating issues from the past that possibly resurface when they're now going through pregnancy or postpartum or just growing their family. It can be a very turbulent time that I don't think we talk about enough. And I am grateful that I found recovery prior to starting our family. But I will say that it definitely threw me for a curveball. You know, there was just a lot of things that came up for me that I didn't expect. And again, like, no one really talks about these things, at least when we were starting our family. And so, you know, I think that's something that I just really want to shed more light on for women who are also going through this. Because I think, like you said, it really does evolve, you know, how you feel about your body, how you relate and engage with food. It really does change over time and through the different seasons of life that you're going through. And throwing kids in the mix, like that's like a whole new ball game too, because now you're responsible not just for feeding yourself, but also for feeding a child. And I think that is a time that can feel very vulnerable for moms, because it's like, feels like this pressure, like I'm raising a child now and I don't want them to potentially struggle with food in the same way that I might have, or to have these types of struggles with their body. And so I think it can be a precarious time, but also a really beautiful time for moms to kind of self-examine where they stand and to find some continued healing for themselves. And that's something that I've certainly seen in my own journey, you know, that how I relate to food and how I relate to my body, I think, has grown and really continued to grow as I have journeyed through being a mom. And I love that you say that, because I think it is a constant evolution. Like, I don't think there's like a starting and a stopping point necessarily. Definitely not a stopping point, you know, like it's kind of like that quote, it's always about the journey, not the destination. And I think that's certainly true for motherhood and how we relate as moms to ourselves, to food, to our bodies, you know, as we're experiencing being a mom.
And you brought up a really good point, and I see this a lot in my clients is when they go through big life changes. So a lot of the clients that I've worked with have been recently graduating from college and kind of making that confusing transition from college into the quote unquote real world. But then another category, and part of why I really wanted to cover this topic on the podcast, is I hear from people in my Instagram DMs or in comments really wanting more information on how to navigate becoming a mother for the first time, or if it's maybe a second or third pregnancy and they're struggling in that stage, whatever stage it is. A lot of those changes can be really challenging, and you mentioned can also bring up, even if you maybe have been recovered from an eating disorder, now it might be triggering some of those emotions again that you didn't realize would happen with pregnancy. Is that something you notice with clients or noticed with yourself?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the unfortunate thing is that our current prenatal care system in general, and I know I'm generalizing by saying this, I know there's definitely practitioners who practice differently, but in general, we have a very weight-centric, fat-phobic prenatal healthcare system. And I don't think a lot of women expect this necessarily. And I think especially if you are in recovery, or, you know, you're working through healing your own relationship with food and your body, getting thrown into this can kind of feel like a minefield of triggers, and very unexpected issues might come up. And I know that was one thing that was really difficult for me was I had gotten to a place in my recovery where I was feeling comfortable in my body, not weighing myself, all those things. And then all of a sudden you have your prenatal appointments and the first thing they want you to do is get on the scale. And that, you know, my weight became all of a sudden like a focal point of my health, my prenatal care. And that was unexpected. I mean, I think we hear about those things, but then when you're actually now going through it, it can bring up a lot of issues. And then in conversations, you know, we have, again, like a healthcare system that's very weight centric. And so I think having your weight now be the topic of conversations when you're talking to your doctor, rather than, you know, how are you feeling? How is this transition affecting you? Or, you know, how are you feeling about becoming a mom? It's not like that in general. And so I think for a lot of women, that's how they're starting out motherhood. They're starting it out in this place where their body is being questioned. And that can be really challenging when you're already going through changes that feel uncomfortable or out of your control. And pregnancy is a lot of body changes. And I think sometimes that can feel uncomfortable, especially when you've gotten to a place where you're like, okay, I might feel like stable or neutral about my body. And now that's being challenged because there's just a lot of changes. And again, we don't talk about those changes. We don't normalize them as much. Pregnancy is definitely the start of it, but I mean, it's not the end. Thinking about postpartum, how there's so many damaging messages that new moms are hearing that focus around their body and how their bodies should change or should change back to the way they were. And that can be very despairing for a woman who has worked so hard to try to make peace with her body and to normalize the changes that are happening. And so it can feel overwhelming at times, but I definitely think the more we can talk about it, the more we can bring awareness around potential challenges or potential difficulties, I think the more we can help moms prepare for some of these, you know, obstacles that may come up along the way, because it truly is a beautiful journey. And I don't want to deter from, you know, the joy that is part of becoming a mother, but I do think it's also important to be honest and open about what the journey might look like and how it can potentially be damaging for a woman who is really working so hard to make peace with food and her body.
Oh, you brought up so many good points there. I don't even know where to start.
It's a lot.
One thing you mentioned was, you know, even if you had been abstaining from using a bathroom scale and then now you're pregnant and one of the first things they do is weigh you at the doctor's mm-hmm. office, that brought me back to, I feel like, you know, I've never personally given birth. And so I have very limited knowledge, which is why I have an expert on here to talk mm-hmm. about this. But when I'm thinking back to even what I learned about the stage in life in my nutrition courses, one of the things we learned and had to memorize was this chart where it showed you what your starting weight category was and the recommended amount that you could gain when you were pregnant. And so that brought that back to me and how, you know, I have very limited knowledge about this, but one of the things that I do remember was that you can't, quote unquote, gain a certain amount of weight if you have a certain starting weight. Is that something you still often see being reinforced in the medical setting?
Yes. And I'm so glad you brought that up because that is like one of my biggest pain points for definitely the women that I work with, because that comes up in conversation. And it's the Institute of what you're referring to, the Institute of Medicine weight guidelines for pregnancy. And they are so outdated. And it just boggles my mind that we continue to use that as a frame of reference. And it's based on pre-pregnancy BMI, which I know how you feel about BMI.
Yep.
So, you know, like we have to understand like where it's coming from. And it's just not realistic. I mean, we can't put women in a box like that. And what I see, and I've experienced it for myself, but you know, a lot of women who are gaining more than those weight guidelines, and there's nothing wrong with them. Like that's just what their body needed to do to grow their baby. Yet that can be such a source of shame and guilt. Like what is wrong with me? Like what am I doing wrong? And I mean, sadly, I've seen that be a trigger for so many women in pregnancy who are now like worried about eating in pregnancy and feeling like I have to restrict, I have to cut this out, I have to exercise more to kind of try to get some control over it. But that is one of the biggest misconceptions in pregnancy, is that we can control the outcome of weight gain, when really there's so many factors that are out of our control, right? That like genetics, all these things that are influencing how our body is changing and evolving to grow a baby. And it's so sad to me that this is such a crux of how we navigate prenatal care. And it shouldn't be like that because there's so many other aspects that are happening outside of weight. And, you know, weight is a factor that we look at, but unfortunately we put too much emphasis on it. And when I say we, I mean the prenatal care system. There's way too much emphasis on it and not enough of talking to our moms and asking them like, how is your pregnancy influencing the way you eat? You know, because we also have women who are experiencing a range of symptoms that make eating so challenging during pregnancy, like morning sickness or aversions to food. There's all these things that come up for women. And I think there's this idea that weight gain like happens very evenly over the course of pregnancy. And it's not like that at all. And I think that's another misconception, you know, like I remember going in for an appointment and my doctor was like, oh, you gained X amount like in this week and that we wanted to see you gain this amount. And I'm like, what? Like who can control that? You know? And I think again, like all of these misconceptions can be very triggering for women during a time in their life that already is incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah, I can imagine with any of those changes, like you just mentioned, some sort of reaction from a physician or a nurse could trigger all sorts of emotions if you weren't expecting that going into it. And if you're already having heightened emotions and there's a lot of uncertainty about what is to come, I can just about imagine how challenging that would be.
Absolutely. And I think, again, this is why even for women who may not have necessarily struggled with food or their body prior to pregnancy, I think it can just really come at you from out of left field, right? Where it's not necessarily expected. You might be feeling good about things. And then it can be subtle comments, not just from well-meaning physicians, but I don't know. I feel like pregnancy just paints a huge bullseye, like right on the back of a mom's back, you know, like I am now, you can like comment about my body and say things about my body and like touch my body, like all these things that are not okay. But somehow people just think like, oh, I can do this to a pregnant woman, like, or it's okay to say things. And it's our mentality in general as a society towards women during pregnancy. And I think all of that kind of factors into it, where it can make a woman just feel very vulnerable in her own skin when she may already be feeling those things because she's experiencing changes in her body that she hasn't yet experience before. So yeah, it can be a hard season. And like I said, I don't share those things to take away from the joy that comes with bringing a baby into the world, but it can be challenging in a lot of ways too.
Well, yeah, you bring up a good point. Not only do you feel judged within the medical system, just the way that's set up, but then also, of course, a lot of unsolicited comments from family members or friends or gosh, even strangers will comment.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. Pregnant.
I'm sure you've probably encountered that yourself. Mm-hmm. And or even, you know, asking or not asking if they can touch your pregnant belly. Lots of where all these social rules are thrown out the window. I don't know where that all came from in pregnancy, but it seems like, you know, people, even when they're well-meaning comments, you know, making comments like, oh, you don't even look like you're pregnant, or you don't even look like you had a baby. Or I think sometimes maybe moms, if they're not getting certain comments, then that may lead you to feel a certain way. And it's a lot that can go into that, that I imagine adds an extra layer to what you're already going through.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the other thing to remember here too is that for any of your listeners who are moms, going through motherhood is such a big identity change too. And this is another aspect that I don't think we talk about enough. Like we, on the surface level, it's easy to see like the physical changes, right? Like how your body has changed. And I think it's easier to stay on that surface level. But when we look deeper and we look under the surface, realizing that becoming a mom is a lot of identity changing. And that is a vulnerable and scary place to be in, right? Like everything in your life is turning upside down in a good way, but it's like your relationships are changing, your marriage is changing, the work that you're likely able to continue doing in your life is going to change temporarily. Your freedom, right? Like your personal space and boundaries, your autonomy and independence as a woman, like all of that that is changing. And sometimes I think it can feel like so overwhelming to go through all those changes, which is why sometimes I think it's easier to gravitate towards the physical changes, right? But recognizing that those physical changes are uncomfortable because it's other things in our life that are also changing alongside with that are equally, if not more, uncomfortable. And sadly, we just don't give women or moms like the space to process those changes. It's like, oh, had a baby, like get back on your feet, get back into things as normal when there is no normal. It's kind of like what we're going through as a country right now. Like there is no going back to normal. There's only going through and evolving and changing. And the same thing is so true in motherhood. Like when you go through a big transition, there's not really going back. There's now creating a new normal, but figuring what that is hard and uncomfortable, and it doesn't happen overnight.
I think, you know, we hear a lot about the pressure to try to lose weight after giving birth. And I imagine there's a lot of societal pressure, and it doesn't help that we see magazine covers that glorify celebrities who have lost weight very rapidly. Do you think part of the motivation that some women experience in wanting to lose weight is to try to get back to what they thought is normal? As you just mentioned, you know, you can't really go back to normal. You have this new normal that you developed. Do you think that can be part of it?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you brought this up, because definitely learned it from my own experiences and also from the women that I work with. Like there's usually always a deeper meaning behind that statement. Like, I want my body back, right? On the surface level, it can feel like weight loss. Like there's urgency to lose weight, to kind of get back to a sense of normalcy. But like I said, there's always more meaning beneath the surface. And usually when I hear a new mom saying that, I think she's also expressing unspoken feelings like, I miss my body being my own, or I miss having the freedom to do what I want to do, right? To be able to like go out somewhere and not have to worry about like who's going to take care of the baby, who's going to feed the baby, right? Or I miss my relationships being the way they were. This is another thing that we don't talk about enough. How much our relationships, our friendships, our marriage, all of those things change a lot when you bring a baby into the world. And I think that is an aspect of it too. Or just having, you know, more autonomy and independence, it's hard. And I think the physical changes that are experienced through pregnancy and postpartum are uncomfortable, but because they also speak to the discomfort of the other aspects of life that have also changed alongside that, if that makes sense. It's not to invalidate what a mom is saying, you know, like she may feel uncomfortable in her body. And I think she's also feeling uncomfortable with other aspects of her life that have drastically changed like overnight, right? And those things are coincided, like they're happening together and they're very parallel. And so I think it's important for women who are going through discomforts with their body to recognize that, you know, there may be other aspects of their life that they also feel uncomfortable with, and that's okay. You know, like being willing to sit in that space of discomfort and realize that you don't need to change your body in order to feel more comfortable with the other aspects of your life.
Yeah, and I can imagine there's probably a lot of shame wrapped up in all of that, because part of you maybe is mourning the loss of your life not being exactly the same as before. But at the same time, you know, you are very happy to have a new addition to your family, but you might feel shame for, you know, missing some of your old life as well. And so I imagine the psychology is probably pretty exhausting with that.
Yes. And you brought up such a good point. I think there's this idea that I'm a new mom, I have a baby, I should be nothing but grateful. I definitely experienced this myself. Because of my eating disorder, I was told that I wouldn't be able to have children. And thankfully, we were able to have kids. And I struggled so much in postpartum because it was those feelings, the dichotomy of like, I miss my old life, but I feel guilty for not wanting to be with my baby, or I feel guilty for not being in love with motherhood, right? Like there's a lot of those ideas that We should be in love with it. We should just love every single minute of it. And I don't think we talk about the harder aspects too. It is, in a sense, there is a sense of grief that you have to go through. Like, you're grieving your old life. It doesn't mean that you're not grateful for your baby or for your body's ability to have a baby. I think that's another thing that I see women struggling with, you know, like, I'm so uncomfortable with my body, but I know I should be grateful for the baby that it brought me. And I just encourage women, you know, don't judge your feelings. It's okay to sit with both of those things. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You know, it's okay to feel grief for the life that you once had and the body that you once had, but to also feel gratitude for the baby that you now have in your life, for the way that your family is growing. It's okay to be both of those things. It doesn't have to be either or. And I think creating space for yourself to let your feelings be what they are and not try to change them, and recognize that these type of major transitions are going to come with a complexity of emotion.
I think it's so comforting to have that permission to feel both of those things and not feel like you have to feel grateful or you can only feel sad about some of the changes. It's important to know that we are complex and we are feeling a number of different emotions, and that's okay.
That's right. And especially, you know, with bringing a baby into the world, like I said, it's such a major transition. And again, I don't think we do enough as a society to honor women through the transitions that they go through, to give them space to adjust to this new life. I think that's part of the issue. But recognizing that you do have permission to feel what is coming up for you, and that it's going to be different for everybody. But just because what you're experiencing doesn't look like what somebody else is experiencing doesn't make it wrong. You know, like, it's okay to be in the space that you are, to feel what's coming up for you, and to give yourself permission to feel those feelings, whether it's about your body, about your baby, about motherhood in general. There's going to be a lot of things that come up, and that's okay. It's part of the process, you know, but again, we don't normalize that.
When you think of maybe our parents or grandparents and the challenges that they faced, particularly as mothers, compared to what mothers today, like yourself, are experiencing, whether being a mother for the first time or perhaps you have kids, say, in high school or college, can you think of any trends you've noticed that maybe are particularly different, or problems that are coming up more for mothers today?
Yes, that is a great question. I think on one hand, we are doing a better job of talking about different things. Like, for example, you know, my mom struggled with maternal mental illness, and that was something that I don't ever remember her talking about until just recently when I've shared my own struggles. And it's sad to me that she struggled in silence for so long. And I think in her days growing up and mothering, you know, there was so much more stigma and kind of taboo around mental illness. And I think it was difficult to talk about those things. And I think now we're doing better. I think we have a long way to go still, but I think we're doing better about creating safe spaces for moms to talk about things like postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety. On the other hand, we're also living in this vortex of social media, which I think, again, like, our parents didn't necessarily have that growing up, and so, or when they were parenting us. And so I think it's so much easier to get stuck in this comparison trap, or to create unrealistic expectations for what you think your motherhood should look like, or thinking, wow, her baby is doing this, like, my baby isn't doing that yet, right? And I think that can be a very dangerous place to live in, because again, like, unrealistic expectations create this standard for moms that can feel like a chasm, like an impossible place to be. And that can bring up a lot of guilt and shame, disappointment, right? Like, I feel like I'm not living up to my own expectations, and really kind of examining, like, well, where are these expectations coming from? Not to say, you know, social media alone is responsible for that, but I think when a lot of our time is engaging with seeing filtered images of what other people are doing, that can certainly play a role in creating these unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, I've even noticed, you know, when I follow moms on Instagram, I think, oh my gosh, wow, they've really got it together. And I don't have any kids, and I definitely don't have my life that well put together. But you mentioned we're seeing only the highlight reel, as people often call it. And so I can imagine if you're already feeling a certain way at that point in your life, it makes it that much easier to get sucked into that, I suppose.
Absolutely. And I think moms can just be harder on themselves in general, right? And now, like, feeling like, yes, I'm not living up to what other people are doing or what I think other people are expecting from me. And that, again, like, that can make it harder to just be present in your own life when you're constantly looking at what other people are doing. And that is certainly a challenge that I think we're facing in our current season of mothers in general. But again, like, I think part of the beauty of being able to connect on social media is some people do use that as a tool for good, right? Where they're able to use their platform to share their struggles or be honest about what they're dealing with. And I think it's just important to be cognizant about the standards that you're creating for yourself or the expectations that you may be holding over for your head or for your own children. And I certainly see this with food and feeding kids. And I know that can be a whole nother topic, but, you know, like, seeing these, like, perfectly crafted, like, kids meals, and, you know, and there can be moms who are like, I'm just struggling to feed my kids and just hoping that I can throw some chicken nuggets on the table and that I can keep them fed. And there's so much disparity, I think, between, again, like, what we see on social media and what the reality of our lives might be. And so I think it's just really important to be careful with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And also, you know, they don't typically show pictures of, like, a bland chicken nugget dish with French fries compared to pancakes that look like a fish or something like that on social media.
Exactly. And then I think it creates this idea too, and this is another area that I see where moms just feel guilty for how they're feeding their kids or what they're feeding their kids, or thinking like, wow, like, my kid won't even touch a vegetable right now. And, you know, I see other kids who seem to eat it with no problem. I see this a lot with women during pregnancy too, where they feel like they have to eat a certain way because they see other people doing it, or they hear other people, like, talking about, you know, you eat so healthy during pregnancy. And they're like, I can barely keep down, like, my saltine crackers right now, you know? So I think it's just really important to remind yourself of where you're at in your journey and trying to stay focused on what you can do for yourself and for your family.
Something I've gotten questions about is, you know, you mentioned this a little bit towards the beginning of our conversation about how you might be raising kids and also you may be going through your own eating disorder or your own challenges with food. And so you have this difficult situation where you're trying to nourish children and trying to figure yourself out. And then you're also putting this added pressure of not passing on some of the attitudes that you may have towards food. Is that something that you see with clients or with women in general?
Yes, absolutely. And this is a lot of what I work with in my own practice. It can be challenging because I think, again, sometimes that can create those unrealistic expectations again, right? Where a mom may have certain desires to feed her child in a certain way or to be able to engage with their child in a certain way, but recognizing just where you're at. And I think awareness is always a really key place to start, like awareness and understanding of maybe your own beliefs or thoughts or feelings. The other thing I see is that sometimes kids can do things that unintentionally, like, trigger a parent, right? And not just around food, but certainly with, you know, unresolved issues from childhood. And I always say that motherhood is such a refining journey because it really kind of brings things to the surface, sometimes unexpectedly. But that can be a gift in itself to acknowledge, like, what's this kind of sore spot that triggered something for me? Or, you know, my child did this and that made me feel really agitated or really scared or fearful. And I think that can be a gift to examine what that is and to understand where it's coming from. And I always just encourage moms, like, your kids don't need a perfect mom. They just need you. They need you to be who you are, imperfections and all, and recognizing that you still have opportunities to work through any things that are coming up for you, whether it's around food or your body. Don't have to be perfect in that department in order to prevent your child from somehow, like, dealing with something like that down the road. And I think that's a lot of fears that moms have. But recognizing that just you being there, you being present, you being engaged with them, and you being willing to also, you know, do the work within yourself, I think is important for helping your child. And, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, we are doing the best that we can with the resources and the information we have. And that's all we can do, right? Like, we just keep moving forward. And I think there's sometimes this idea, like, I have to like prevent everything from happening to my child to keep them safe. And again, that's that desire to be in control. And recognizing, like, you know what can I control? I can control, you know, myself and how I think about food, or how I engage with my child around food, or how I practice taking care of my body in front of my child. Like, those are things that we can control and know that the work that we're doing will benefit them.
Yeah. And I can imagine too, even if you don't have an eating disorder right now, we can also maybe feel so nervous about anything affecting our kids. So for example, if you had a mom who talked about diets a lot growing up, or discussed weight a lot growing up, or their own body dissatisfaction, you might be so nervous about saying anything wrong. That could be challenging as well, you know, not wanting to slip up ever, or whatever you might call it.
Yes, absolutely. And this is, again, where I think it's important to remember that kids are so resilient, which is a blessing. And they are learning too. And I think seeing us learn as well, I think, is helpful and encouraging for them. And realizing, like, it's okay to share with your child if you've made a mistake, or you did something that, or you said something, and, like, you know, being able to share with them, like, what you're learning or what you are hoping to learn through the process or whatever. Like, again, like, it's crushing that idea that we have to somehow be a perfect mom. And I think that comes with a lot of rigidity. And I think that comes with a lot of, I mean, again, just unrealistic expectations that it's not possible to not ever say something or not ever, like, lose your cool. I mean, that's part of being a mother. And I think it's coming from a place of grace and compassion for yourself and also for your children. And I think modeling that is the most important thing, right? Like, modeling self-compassion and modeling grace. And I think when they can see that, it gives them permission to be who they are and recognize that if they make a mistake, that it's okay. They can learn from it and move on.
Oh, that's such a good point too, is using it as a way to model how to handle those situations. Or if you do have a discussion about it, that's important, because obviously in life, we're at an advantage if we have good communication skills. So it serves more than one purpose of, you know, trying to create this quote unquote perfect food environment for our kids, but also to show, you know, I mean, we don't live in a world where we have perfect food environments. So how can we adapt to these different situations and talk about it and deal with what comes up for us?
Absolutely. And I think just practicing that flexibility and that compassion is key, you know. And I love how you said that, because we have to remember, like, we live in a predominant diet culture society, right? Like, it's such a saturated aspect of the society that we live in. And I think a lot of moms are fearful of that too, or a lot of women who are thinking about becoming moms are like, I'm scared to bring my child into this kind of environment. But realizing, like, there is so much we can do to help our children navigate that. And we can't shield them from everything, but we can give them the tools to be able to navigate it successfully and not be sucked into it. Like, a funny story that I share is, my kids were watching a cartoon one day. In the cartoon, they had said something that was, like, so diet culture related. And I was like, I heard it in earshot. What? This is like a kid's cartoon. Like, what the heck? And I remember, like, my daughter, like, saying something about it and using that as an opportunity to just have a discussion with her and reminding her, like, you can trust your body. You can listen to your tummy when you're eating. It's crazy how, like, food rules can get really ingrained and just come out, like, at such a young age. But again, like, those are opportunities for us to talk with our kids and share with them. And again, give them the tools to help support them as they navigate life and diet culture and the different ways they may encounter it.
So to kind of wrap everything up, and I know this will be challenging because there's so many tips, but do you have any overarching themes or tips that you might give to women who are navigating motherhood perhaps for the first time, whether that's they're currently pregnant and preparing themselves to give birth, or just overall themes and things that women might find helpful during this phase of life?
One thing I try to just encourage moms with is to remind them that they can trust themselves. They can trust their bodies as they navigate through changes. And even if those changes feel foreign or uncomfortable, they can still trust themselves. They can trust their body even as they're going through seasons of life that feel out of their control, essentially. And I like to remind moms too that your feelings, whether it's about your body, whether it's about motherhood, your feelings don't have to dictate the choices that you make. Meaning, if you're feeling bad about your body or you're feeling uncomfortable in your body, those feelings don't now have to dictate how you're going to treat your body, and that you can still choose to treat yourself from a place of respect and compassion, even if your feelings don't necessarily align with them. And I always use this example of motherhood, where you're going to have seasons or days in motherhood where you're just done with it. Like you're not enjoying it. And that's okay, right? Like you might not want to wake up again and change diapers and feed kids multiple times throughout the day. And the monotony of it can just wear on you sometimes. And those feelings aren't going to change what you do, right? Like even if you're waking up and dreading the day or just wanting to be in a different environment, right? Like I wish I could be anywhere but here today. Those feelings aren't going to change necessarily how you care for your kids. Like I know so many moms who may not necessarily be in love or feeling in love with motherhood are still committed to caring for their children and doing what they need to do, right, to take care of them. And I always use that as an analogy to how you can care for yourself. Like you might wake up some days and not feel that great in your body. You might deliver your baby and feel really uncomfortable in your postpartum body. And I think it's okay to acknowledge those feelings and also recognize that those feelings don't have to dictate how you choose to care for your body. You can still be proactive in making choices and decisions and how you care for yourself, how you nourish your body, even if those feelings don't necessarily align with it. So that's one thing. The other thing I try to encourage moms with is finding some ways to feel at home in your body through the different changes and seasons that you're going through. So I like to tell this story. I have a dear friend who is a military wife. So she is like moved all over the world. What is amazing to me is that no matter where she lives, whether it's like the tiniest little like flat apartment or, you know, a bigger house, wherever she goes, she always has a way of making her space feel like homey. Like she just has that gift, right? And I remember asking her that, like, how do you do this? Like, even though you're in an environment, like you're in a country where you don't even speak the language, you don't know anyone, you don't have any family here. And she always said, like, I just learn to make my space that we came home to feel like home. And, you know, she would put up family pictures or certain things that just helped her feel more at ease and more comfortable in her space, even if her surroundings were completely unfamiliar and uncomfortable, right? And I thought, you know, that is such an amazing analogy for motherhood because I guarantee there's going to be multiple changes, right? Physically, emotionally, relationally, in career, all these things that are constantly be changing. And I just try to encourage moms, what is something that you can do to help you feel at home in yourself, even if your body feels uncomfortable, even if your surroundings feel foreign to you? What can you do to help yourself feel more at peace or more at ease with your body? Because your body is your home. You don't have to like it, you don't have to love it, but you can certainly do things to feel a little more at home in it. And that can look differently for everyone. Sometimes that means wearing clothes that fit your current body or doing things that are respectful to your body, eating enough, eating sufficiently, drinking enough water, getting rest. It looks different for everyone, but I just try to use that encouragement. You can still find ways to make yourself at ease and at home in your own body, even if you're going through seasons like pregnancy or postpartum, where your body feels completely foreign to you. It's still your home. Those are just a couple things, but hopefully that is helpful.
Awesome. Well, I am sure that people are going to want to continue learning from you. So if you wouldn't mind, could you share where people can find you on social media or a website, or if they would like to reach out to you for your services?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking, Amanda. So I am at crystalcargis.com and I blog regularly. So I have a lot of different posts about pregnancy and postpartum and breastfeeding, all from a perspective of intuitive eating. That's definitely the philosophy that I practice from. I'm also on Instagram at Crystal Cargis. So I share some tidbits and behind the scenes of my own family life, as well as tips for navigating motherhood. I also lead a free virtual support group for moms in eating disorder recovery. So if you have any listeners who feel like, you know what, I could use a community or just some more support around food or body image challenges that are coming up in this season of motherhood, I would love for you to join us. It's completely free, and we meet once a month online. It's a beautiful community of women that we have. So that's another resource that we have available to you.
That's amazing. I can actually think of people that I would love to recommend that resource to already. Awesome. So hopefully you'll be getting some new people joining you
coming
up. That would
be amazing. Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and I am so happy that we were able to chat. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you to Anchor for again hosting my podcast. Be sure to download and subscribe this podcast on Apple or your favorite streaming device. If you're looking for ways to get started on your own journey towards food freedom, head over to my website at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/course to get started on my self-paced course. If you need more individualized help, I also offer virtual coaching, and you can get in touch with me at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/virtual-coaching. To get show notes from this episode, you can go to spillingthebeansnutrition.com/podcast. And of course, if you're not already following me on Instagram or Facebook, I'm at spillingthebeans_nutrition. Our album art was photographed by my very own little cousin, Brittany Preller, and our theme song was written by Daniel James O'Connor and is used under the Creative Commons license.